You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history, going back to 2017 for the Grenfell Tower fire. This was a sort of major fire in a council housing block in London, which killed 72 people, left a lot more sort of injured and displaced. And it really was sort of the culmination of, I guess, the housing policy for the last few decades of housing policy in the United Kingdom, which had been very much pushed towards sort of cheap, you know, whereas once it had been about providing people with like good housing that they couldn't otherwise afford. Then that had sort of taken place after World War II. Before that, most of the housing focus had been on clearing slums in parts of London.
Rooting out slums in big cities has occupied the active attention of the national government, cooperating with local authorities. At Wandsworth, London's largest borough, the Minister of Health is interviewed on this problem by Pathé Gazette.
I'm very glad indeed to see the progress that you're making with your slum clearance scheme in Wandsworth, Mr. Mayor. And I think, Mr. Prince, you've got about 700 unfit houses to demolish.
That is so. We have dealt with nearly half our programme, and this is one of six large areas there where we are demolishing the houses.
You know, we are setting out to rehouse about 1,300,000 persons in out of the slums in good, comfortable houses. Of course, the first stages of the work are the slowest, but already we are rehousing them at the rate of 150,000 a year. That is about 400 a day. And the work will go on faster and faster. Geoffrey Shakespeare, how would you give people an idea of the magnitude of the work that is being done?
I should put it like this, Minister. Take my own constituency of Norwich. We are rehousing in 5 years a population, a slum population, equal to the whole population of Norwich and these towns in addition. Canterbury, Margate, Hastings, Exeter, Great Yarmouth, Southend, and Brighton.
Certainly is a great work and worthy of its great object. No more slums.
Yes, and then after World War II, you had the election of the first Labour government, which put a very strong focus on building what we would call state housing. They called it council housing because it's sort of a complicated system where the central state builds it, then sort of the council runs it. And this was very much focused on sort of housing for everyone, not just the low-income earners, you know, your doctors, your professionals, a policy which would not last that long, but very much be sort of begun under the first Labour government.
Aspen Gardens, the new block of council flats in Hammersmith, recently received their official blessing, so to speak, from Mr. Naren Bevan, Minister of Health, who referred to the housing situation in general.
When the September figures are announced, it will be seen that we have already reached the figure of 750,000 new houses that was the coalition's first target. Now, I inherited that target from my predecessors, and I'm bound to tell you that I viewed it with as much skepticism as the rest of what they said. Because I thought the target was a little low. I believe that the estimates upon which it was based were exceedingly conservative. Using the word conservative, of course, in a liberal sense.
On the subject of overcrowding, the minister pointed out the disadvantages of sharing homes.
That it's all right to have visits from your mother-in-law, but you don't want to live with her all the time. Now I have very great pleasure in declaring the block of flats open.
In spite of the modest rents, which vary from 13 and 6 to 26 and 6 plus rates, these particular flats can boast of many first-class amenities. The kitchens, as you see, are really well fitted out and should help to make life a lot easier. And to judge from the other rooms in the furnished specimen flat, occupants ought to be extremely comfortable. The number of bedrooms in these flats varies from 1 to 4. There's a central laundry, which is all electric and practically automatic. In addition, good arrangements are being made for garaging that important vehicle, the pram.
And yes, although the incoming Conservative government would sort of shift the focus to more low-income families, providing housing in more low-income communities, they would broadly maintain the policy of quite a generous council estate.
At Desford, Leicestershire, the first two people's houses are ready for the Minister of Housing, Mr. Harold Macmillan, to inspect with the architect. Built in 12 weeks for less than £1,000 each, these houses seem one answer to the housing drive. With the living room, dining annex and kitchen downstairs, they have 3 bedrooms upstairs. Women will find their work has been made as simple as possible. That's because when he made the plans, architect Mr. Appleton asked housewife Mrs. Appleton for suggestions. As ex-Sergeant Reist hears the familiar, come and get it, he's home at last. Here's Mrs. Reist's point of view. You can see the woman's planning in the kitchen. That young William putting on the shine. Hot water comes from the continuous burning fire. The fuel store is a built-in part of the house. Bedrooms have built-in cupboards, which make rooms so much easier to keep tidy. Market Bosworth Council has placed a contract for 38 more of these houses in its drive to put every man by his own fireside.
And so this policy would finally be significantly shifted in the late 1970s, early 1980s by the Thatcher government, which I'm sure we're all broadly aware with. They had a policy of sort of rent to buy, where you could then, where people could buy the house they were living in, which in itself isn't really bad. It was a very popular policy and allowed a lot of sort of low-income people to actually own a house. The problem was, of course, they didn't build replacement council housing, and so that very much sort of contributed to the modern state of housing in England.
Gavin Strang!
But will the Prime Minister take time this afternoon to consider the plight of the hundreds of thousands of council tenants who've been encouraged by this government to buy their council house? Is it not time the government reconsidered its policy of cutting support for council housing in order to bring pressure on council tenants to buy their houses by forcing up council rents?
Mr. Speaker, as the Honourable Gentleman is very well aware, we put through a policy of purchasing council houses by their tenants, a policy which was bitterly opposed by the Labour Party, a policy from which many, many people have profited and are very grateful for that. We shall continue to pursue that policy, and in Scotland, as he knows, it's gone further to Scottish homes. It has been a very good bargain for all who have partaken of the opportunity they've had from this government.
And so in the years following the Thatcher Prime Ministership, support or financial support for council housing would increasingly be cut. This, of course, as we all know, and the point of this whole segment, was most known with the Grenfell Tower, which had quite a strange ownership model. It had been sort of devolved to the Kensington and Chelsea Tenant Management Organisation, which was supposed to be more sort of democratic for the tenants, but was quite criticised as being sort of a lot of sort of intimidation tactics of the bulk of the tenants, and had a weird representation board where there was like 8 tenants and then some others from the council and some other sort of independent representatives from business all sort of in there. And what this meant is that a lot of people's concerns about safety in Grenfell Tower went sort of ignored. There's so many things that were wrong with it. It's really hard to cover them all. Most famously was the cladding, which people were reporting that they would be having a cigarette and they'd put it out and they would catch on fire. This was all ignored. And this, of course, led to the tragic Grenfell Tower fire, which took place on this day in history, 2017.
Very warm welcome to BBC News, and let's take you straight away to that breaking story now. Coming from West London, the London Fire Brigade are dealing with a huge fire in a residential tower block in West London. They were called to this just about 2 in the morning local time, about 2 hours ago now. This is Grenfell Tower, 23, maybe 24 storey block of flats in West Kensington. 200 firefighters at this scene, 40 fire engines. Most people, and most, in fact, of the people trying to help people still there, have been moved back because there are great concerns that this structure is going to collapse. Local people are saying residents of the tower are still trapped. Details at the moment not yet clear. Our correspondent Andy Moore is there. Andy, what is the latest?
Well, as you can see, the building is well alight. We've had an update from the fire service. They say it's alight from the second floor up to the 27th floor. You may be able to see just at the bottom left-hand corner, there's a hydraulic platform with a hose that is focused on that one corner of the building that is not alight. And then in the last half hour or so, we have seen a person at a window there. We saw them once or twice. We don't know whether it's a resident or a firefighter, but it's in that area where that hose is being trained. So we can say that at least some people are still in the building. We don't know if they're trapped. We don't know how many people have been rescued from the building. We do know from the London Fire Service that they say in the early stages, two people were treated for the effects of breathing in smoke, but we've had no update since then. We've seen debris falling from the building. We've heard the sound of explosions. We've heard the sound of glass breaking. The police have keep on pushing back their cordons, moving members of the public for fear that the building might collapse. But as you can see, those firefighters, especially on those hydraulic platforms, are still in close proximity to the building. And I don't think they would be that close unless they were actively trying to rescue people to save lives.
But there is great concern from what you're saying, Andy, from the fact that everybody's been pushed back about the building collapsing.
That's right. That is a fear, as you can see. It's been alight now for something like 3 hours, right from the second floor, right to the top. Above the building, I can see this column of grey smoke rising into the air. There's the police helicopter overhead keeping a watch. I mean, there must be fears for the integrity, structural integrity of the building. And certainly the police are acting on the principle that better safe than sorry, that it's best to move people back. Certainly I was a bit close to the building earlier on and there was ash falling all around, gently floating down at that stage. So there must be fears for the integrity of this building, that it could possibly collapse. You can see that one hose on the building. We can't see the base of the building from where we are, but from the 10th floor and above, you can see there is no firefighting going on. It's impossible to reach it. It's impossible to get hoses on it. So it's simply burning out of control, completely out of control, from about the 10th floor upwards.
Andy, I'm sure you can't comment on this as such, but it's probably worth putting it out there. We don't have the landlord's view on this block. Of course, at the moment, it's a local authority block, as I understand it was being upgraded, but the work is supposed to have finished. What appears to be a local pressure group, the Grenfell Action Group, has been drawing attention in its blog post to what it calls dangerous living conditions here. Allegedly, the neglect on health and safety legislation, allegedly a poor safety record by the landlords. But I stress we don't have the landlord's point of view on that, and I'm sure they will have one. But the blog posts do suggest a serious fire in the tower block is likely, and they suggest a major fire in this very block was averted in 2013, when they say some residents experienced power surges allegedly caused by faulty wiring.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.